Governor McDonald's name has been linked to the vice presidency quite a few times over the past 15 months, but the closer we get to 2012, the more often the topic comes up, especially with his elevation to the chair of the Republican Governors Association. Sean Gorman with the Richmond Times-Dispatch and PolitiFactVirginia.com has taken a look at what the governor is saying about it and at what he's said before.
2 weeks before the 2009 gubernatorial election, McDonald told Ryan Nobles with NBC 12 here in Richmond that if elected, he would absolutely serve the full 4 years of his term. Now, during that campaign, there had been some speculation on whether McDonald would leave the governor's mansion early to seek a post on the GOP national ticket in 2012. Now, McDonald repeatedly dismissed the speculation, saying he was committed to serving through the end of his term in 2013. So what we examined here is whether McDonald changed his tune on that promise to stay through the end of his term. In a story this month in Politico, McDonald expressed outright interest in joining the GOP ticket as a vice presidential candidate. Now, the governor said he wasn't asking for the number two spot on the ticket, but he noted he'd be, quote, very interested in being the GOP's vice presidential candidate. Now, McDonald's spokesman Tucker Martin told us McDonald plans to serve his full term and that the vice presidential talk here is merely hypothetical. And Martin said you can't change your position about something that hasn't happened yet. But although the governor has said he is planning to serve out his full term, he's no longer dismissing the possibility that he'd leave office to be on the national ticket. So that represents a full flop, and that's how he rated it.
Democratic Congressman Bobby Scott of Virginia isn't happy that the Bush tax cuts were extended last December. He made that plain while talking to the BBC about this summer's debt ceiling deal.
We're trying to come up with $400 billion a year. We cut taxes last December, $400 billion a year, and now this discussion is how we're going to pay for it.
Now the congressman is saying that those tax cuts are so expensive that spending reductions worked out this summer will cover only half their cost. Sean, is that so?
Well, Scott was no fan of this month's debt limit deal. Now, the deal called for an immediate $900 billion in cuts. A bipartisan deficit reduction committee is tasked with cutting another $1.5 trillion that could come from spending cuts and revenue increases over the next decade. And if that committee can't come to an agreement, then there's a trigger in the legislation that calls for $1.2 trillion in cuts to both defense and domestic programs. So the savings could be $2.1 trillion or $2.4 trillion, depending on whether the bipartisan committee is successful in putting together a larger package of savings. Now, Scott uses the $2.1 trillion figure as an estimate of the deal's savings, and a couple of analysts told us it's legitimate to use that lower number since the trigger language in the deal means there will be at least that amount of savings. So how does that compare to extending all Bush tax cuts? Scott pointed to an August 2010 Congressional Budget Office report, which says that the cost of keeping the cuts through 2020 is $3.9 trillion. So when you take that $2.1 trillion in savings from the debt deal, that's just over half of the $3.9 trillion in costs for the 10-year extension of all Bush tax cuts. So we rated Scott's claim true.
Sean, thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Fred.
Sean Gorman writes for the Richmond Times-Dispatch and for PolitiFactVirginia.com. I'm Fred Eccles.